Finance and Governance Committee. I am the chair and joined by council members Kate Curler and council member Dale Stranis Johnson. All right, let's go ahead and get started with business agenda item one. So I will not participate in this conversation because I am currently a board member on the Sound Cities Association. I didn't participate in the conversation over there and I won't over here. So leave it up to you two to communicate with us. Pat.
Good evening, committee members. Brandon Miles, Economic Development. So this is a two-year lease for Sound Cities Association. They lease the suite just down the hall from where we're at right now. They've been a tenant in this building for a number of years. The current lease expires at the end of 2022, and they've asked about extending it. We believe that it's reasonable to extend it. We've increased the rent by 50 cents for each year. We did not do a rent increase as part of the 2020-2021 in reflection that we did not want to impact them due to COVID. There's also a small increase in the hourly rate. The lessee shall pay on page 5 of your packet $110 per month for internet service payable on the first of each month. That's just a very small increase. The rate here is it's less than a 3% increase. SCA has reviewed this. They are in support of it. And then the city attorney's office has also reviewed it, and we're ready to execute the lease. One of the things I want to highlight, and just in case the question comes up, why are we doing a two-year lease? That was the last time this renewer came up. It was a request from SCA. Because of their bylaws, they have a requirement that they have to keep so much money in reserve for any outstanding liabilities, such as a lease. So to make their easier their, for their financials, we did a two-year lease. So they're a great tenant to have on site, and we recommend renewing the lease.
So, Council Member Johnson, want to take it? Questions? Thank you for leading us to jump in. I don't really see any issues, but just a question, have there been any issues in the past with them as a tenant?
No, not so before we renew the lease, I reached out to facilities as well as to TIS, who of course have some operational requirements for managing the lease. I did not get any feedback from them in a negative way regarding extending the lease. I'm unaware of any.
Okay, I'm good with this.
Right, I just want to fully disclose that most of the council members are on some kind of committee or another for Sound Cities Association, I think, except one. And I don't consider that a conflict in this conversation. It's actually a convenience that they're in a building in our complex. Over having to travel to see them for appointments and do anything at all these other cities. There's 28 cities in King County that are not the city of Seattle that make up this particular organization. So I think we're glad to be hosting them. My question, did our attorney look at this?
Yes.
Approve this?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So
everything else is nominal as far as I'm concerned. So I'm in support.
I'm in support.
So I want to, one procedural thing is, and I will work with the counselor analyst and city clerk's office about whether we can put this on the consent agenda or whether we need to have it under new business. So if there's a council member who needs to recuse themselves, they can, because if we put it all under the consent agenda, then that council member cannot participate in that consent agenda item. So I will work with the council's office to determine if we just put it under new business.
Our consent is put on the consent agenda, but we're agreeing to the fact that you can modify that and accommodate the recusal.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So business agenda item B. It's an update on the budget process. Director Carlson takes away.
Thank you. So Vicki Carlson, Finance Director, for the record. Tonight, I just wanted to provide an update on the budget process, some of the accomplishments that we've already done, and where we are today. So I'm actually going to start my discussion on page 14 of your packet, which is page 2 of the memo, because that's really where the new information starts. And what I wanted to point out is we already have a number of workshops that we've already completed. So we did review the structure of our city funds and financial policies to kind of just give that overarching kind of framework for the budget process. Back in May, we had two workshops. We spent some time reviewing city revenues, so how our services are funded, We also talked about the budget outreach overview, talked about what we expect for a potential gap in the 2023 budget that we'll be working to close. And then on June 6th, we had an update on capital projects, just an overview of capital projects, what they are, how they're funded, how they function within the city. Community outreach is currently underway. We started that a few weeks ago. Mr. Cullerton, our deputy finance director, and Ms. Fort Brooks have been heading that up. They've been hitting a lot of boards and commissions, and we plan to do that all through the end of July. We want to wrap that up by the end of July so it dovetails in when we come back to council in August to talk about the general fund, getting those priorities from the community. We have been going forward with the Balancing Act, which is a tool to kind of address what our priorities are, what communities' priorities are. We're also adding another tool for in-person events that is going to allow the community to provide input on their top five priorities, as well as their thoughts on revenues and reduction in existing services. We're also going to be putting that online. We want to give people multiple ways to provide this input rather than just one option. Again, we do plan to wrap up the community outreach by the end of July so that council has plenty of time to review that and incorporate that how best they see fit. I wanted to mention a little bit about our ERP implementation because it does have a budget module, and I'm actually really excited about this process because we're going to be able to move away from Excel and provide a lot more transparency into our budget process. But I do want to just provide one caution is we are building this as we're implementing. So just ask for patience as we put this all together. We're building as fast as we can. As part of configuring this, we also wanted to take the opportunity to look at our programs. As you might be aware, we implemented priority-based budgeting a few years ago through our budget process. We've had it in place now for a few years, so lessons learned. It was time to go back and look at that program list. Our goal with this updated program list is to have a true program catalog where the programs were actually cross departments instead of having this mismatch. I'll give an example of administration where one department defines administration one way and another department defines it completely differently. The idea is truly to have programs that cross departments so we can see at a citywide level how much we're providing services on these different programs. So we have provided Attachment A, which has the updated program list. We've provided the program as well as what the updated description is. I also provided on page 3 of the packet, because I think it's a really good reminder, as we get into this budget process, the roles and responsibilities for city council, for the mayors, for the finance department, and for departments, just as a good refresher as to who does what throughout this process. And then the last piece I really wanted to focus on was the budget calendar, which we provided as Attachment B. And Attachment B starts on page, let me just scroll through my own agenda here. That starts on page 23 of the packet. And so this is updated from what you've seen several weeks ago. What you see in green, those are the items that we've already completed. So we are definitely well underway in the budget process. What you see in orange or peach, those are the components that we are currently working on. And then anything is white are things that are going to be coming up. A few dates that are kind of key that I want to point out is mid-July is when we expect to have a consumer price index, which is what our labor contracts are based on. So as soon as we get that, we will be building the labor piece of our budget. We hope to have that completed by early August. Departments are currently working on drafting the supplies and services right now, so hopefully they'll be completed with that in the next few weeks, and then we can just roll in the salaries and benefits and have a good overview picture of what our budget is looking like for next year. We do plan to have a council-led workshop in early August to talk about here's how the general fund looks. And so the plan is say, here's providing the same level of service with the revenues that we project, and then how do we want to close that gap? So that's planned for early August. I also back up, I forgot about this, is I do want to say that we do plan on a council-led town hall that was just scheduled today. That will be July 12th. I believe that starts at 5:30. And those are really the highlights that I wanted to point out that are a bit new. So at this point, I will open up for any questions or conversation you might have.
Questions? That's a little cross.
So, refresh my memory on why having programs spread across departments is good, because some view it as not positive in that you might have a single worker peanut buttered across a number of departments. So if you decide to close out or sunset a program, it makes it very difficult because it's interwoven and integrated.
So with this process in place, we're going to be able to slice and dice the budget multiple ways. So from a person's perspective, a salary and benefits, that person is still going to be budgeted within whatever department their home department is. So you can have a public works department employee as an example that's budgeted in public works. They will be spread within whatever programs they work on, but it will not only be contained within their department. So you can slice the public works department, say, here's their traditional budget. Here's how they spread that budget to programs. So you can see programs at a department level, and then you can see programs at a citywide level as well. So they may be spread across multiple programs, but it would be contained within their department. So you can have a program that spreads multiple departments, and I'll give you a really good example. So we have a program that we've identified as called Community Investment, which I really love that name. So each department will use that program in slightly different ways. So for example, Human Services, the community investment is through the rental and utility assistance. The police department uses that program for the mental health professional, just as an example. The mayor's department uses that for the city scholarship that goes to the high schoolers. So it's self-contained, but you can see the different components of that program across the departments.
All right. So if we decided to eliminate one of those programs, and a person is spread across three of those programs within the department, what we've gotten is some pushback from administration. Well, we can't really make that kind of a trim because that's, you know, how we either get a grant or how we keep this person as a full-time employee.
And anything that has to do with labor, if there's adjustments to program service levels, that all has to be negotiated. And so that's something we would have to work with our labor partners on. We're also spreading services and supplies to those programs. So when you see a program cost, you're going to see every single component that makes up that program cost.
So if we're short on revenue and we need to look for areas to cut, I'm just going to read because I'm sick on this one. I don't care what it is, the gardening program for landscaping at parks. And we decided to take that away, but there's other maintenance things for that person to do within their union. What's renegotiated?
It depends on if the person's time is reallocated to a different program or if a position is reduced. If a position is reduced, that goes through the union. And it's not as simple as, I'll put myself as an example. If I'm not in the union, but let's say I am, and let's say you decide to eliminate my position, if I have a higher seniority position, I'm not the one that gets laid off. It's whoever's the last one on the salary list. And so that's the piece that has to be negotiated.
Well, this would be a philosophy, at least priority budgeting I've been involved in at state level. It was never about taking a certain position out. It was about saying these things are, under Fredo's law, far more effective for the people that we serve. And these are not, and some of these ended up being pet, you know, agendas from past politicians. And so we took them out, and we used the money that we needed to put in more allocations into the services that people needed from certain departments. In our case, it was IT.
Yeah, so it was a reallocation of those resources to the higher priority.
Correct. And so I guess my one caveat is it's not to cement or cross-mix the union negotiations by creating such an integration that causes it, and we have constraints and inabilities to deprioritize programs based on what people are telling us from the public and prioritize things that they wish we had that we never had or that we would emphasize that we need to grow. For instance, maybe the mental health behavior across 24 hours instead of just day shift. So I'm just trying to emphasize that particular piece.
Got it.
My second question is, just want to know, in your outreach, how many people have been involved or active in whatever the outreach has been so far?
Sure. I don't have that right now, but I'm happy to bring that back to you at the next meeting.
That would be great.
Okay. Can do.
That's it.
I don't really have any questions. I thought this was a good update and good to see how far along we are in the process and where we are going. I look forward to the presentation in August on where things where things stand and kind of the state of what we have to work with. So
I really appreciate the calendar, and I know it may, you know, have some small adjustments, but that's really a good guide for all of us. Just one question that came up. Maybe it's under the general fund review, thinking about the kind of affirmation and kind of documentation of the reserve policy. You know, like we usually review that to make awareness, especially for new council members, like this policy's been in place. This is the amount, this is the reserve policy going forward, and to make that, right? It is also to look at, you know, what the cost for our services. So that's just one thing that just, in skimming it, that actually is time well spent, council members.
I agree. I will make that note, make sure we cover that.
Okay. We'll discuss this, and it's an ongoing process. We'll continue to have this on our agenda. And so it looks like the only thing left is miscellaneous. Anybody have any miscellaneous? All right. Then we are adjourned.